whole new attitude to your afternoon.
I want to know what's going on, and I want to know right now.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
And you two will be awesome.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Who the hell are you?
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Thanks, Miz. Let's go.
I love
Thanks,
the Miz.
Mama.
I love the mama. I tried finding mama last night. I couldn't find it anywhere.
I told you.
Dude, I went to Netflix. I went to Prime. I went to Apple. I'm looking at all these different places, and you can't even buy it to rent it.
Well, no, you
can. Throw mama from the chain.
You can, but I don't think you can get it through one of those streaming services because I've done just that. So now I've got it whenever I want to watch it. And I got to tell you, as much as we think it's a comedy, what's the name? Is that Throw Mama from the Train? Is that the name of it?
Yep.
It ain't a comedy, dude. It's a really dark, dark movie. It's got some comical tones in it because Billy Crystal's in it. What's Louis De Palma's real name? What's his name?
Danny DeVito's
in it.
Yeah.
There's some funny parts. It's not a comedy.
I'm sorry, Mama.
But I laughed my ass off.
Dude, I didn't realize the premise is they're trying to kill somebody for each other.
Crisscross.
Yeah, Billy Crystal. Yeah, crisscross.
Crisscross. Here it is.
You got a killer for me, Larry. If you don't, I will. I swear I will.
It's not a comedy.
And here we are. We're laughing about Throw Mama from the Train because she's talking about Owen.
His name is
Owen. Talking about Owen all the time. Yeah,
well, I got news for you. If Owen Miller keeps hitting the way he is, maybe somebody should throw him from the train.
You're rushing to take me away.
No, we may want them to take Owen away if he keeps playing like this, Mama. My good. Yesterday, dude, we got all excited after the game one win, right? Doubleheader yesterday. They play early. They win the game late, 3-2. We come on the air. Hey, they snap the losing streak. All is well.
I wasn't excited about it. The way they won that game to me, I hate to use the word fix, but it really looked kind of funny to me. And there was nothing to really build on it. I mean, it's one thing if you go out there and you really hand it to another team. But the way they won that game yesterday, it was given to them. It was given to them in the bottom of the eighth inning. It was given to them in the first run that they scored in, the first or second inning when Franmil Reyes hits a can of corn and nobody wants to catch it. We score because Rosario's on first base, and he scores from first on a ball that probably landed maybe 20 feet behind first base. Come on.
Yeah, they were gifted the first game yesterday on that play, and then Jose Pagan came in and walked guys and threw a wild pitch and couldn't get anybody out, and they got one big hit. Think about it. One big hit. But then again, JT, when we're there Saturday, Minnesota only had one big hit, right? They hit a three-run bomb off of Shane Bieber. So, you know, we sit here and here's the thing that is beneficial to the Cleveland Guardians, all right? The division. It stinks. The White Sox stink. The Tigers stink. The Royals are maybe the worst team in all of Major League Baseball.
That's
the
fine.
Twins aren't that good.
That's fine, but I look at this team and the way they're losing right now and the way they were acting when they were on the road trip and they really looked like they were having fun. If this team's psyche is fractured and they're looking at Minnesota, who you just said it, isn't really a good team, and they're having their way with us. And Boston had their way with us. And, the Yankees are coming to town, dude.
Yeah,
this is not going to be nice. It's not going to be fun. And if any team in the American League should have these dates circled on their calendar, shouldn't it be the Guardians after what happened in the Bronx?
Yeah, you would think, right? But then again, does it matter if they don't have the talent, right? I mean,
bingo.
That's the bottom line. So,
here it is. Now, yesterday we talked about the Kansas City Royals and a fire sale may be on the way. And I thought maybe they were 10 to 15 games behind 500. Dude, they're 21 games under 500. Kansas City Royals have already started, apparently, it looks like, the fire sale. Carlos Santana traded again to the Mariners. Royals have not been competitive all season long, as I just mentioned. They are 21 games under 500. They move Whit Merrifield to the infield, which means they don't want him getting hurt or anything. He's not going to be in the outfield. He's going to be a bargaining chip. They're going to move him. And if that's not enough, my guy that I've been talking about, Andrew Benintendi, another candidate to hit the trade block as the deadline approaches the first week in August. I don't know if the Guardians are going to be buyers, Kenny.
Well, it we have time, right, to determine whether they're going to be buyers, sellers, or do nothing. There's your three options, right? You think you got a shot to win the division, and right now, hey, I'm looking at I took some notes today. Three games out of first, two games out of the third wild card. But guess what? I think they have a better chance of winning the division than being the third wild card.
Right.
Because
you're
the
right.
AL East is going to have at least two, if not all three, all right. of those wild card teams.
Here's
right?
another problem. You know, a lot of times, and this is me with the glass half empty this time, because as you look at this team and you want to get there and anything can happen once you make the playoffs, right? If you can just get to the postseason. But the problem with this team is the strength of the team going into the season, so we thought, was starting pitching. Well, as we sit here right now today, June 29th, we don't have a starter that's over 500. The best we can do is Cal Quantrill. He's pitching tonight at 4-4. So if the glass wants to be half full, what are you going to hang your hat on? Why would you want to be a buyer right now if even if you get to the postseason, you can't rely on even Shane Bieber?
Yeah, nobody is an ace right now. Shane Bieber had an opportunity to reclaim that, pitching for first place, basically, with the Minnesota Twins in town. They gave him a lead. He couldn't hold it. He gives up the bomb. Granted, it was one hit. Okay, but it was a big one, a three-run hit is what that one was. And my guy, Savali, I'm stopping. I ain't singing anymore until he wins a game. I'm done.
I'm not
singing that song. I'm not praising
he's
him
not
anymore
right.
until he gets a win.
Tristan's not right. Please act look good the other day, and I'm tired of these hard luck losses. Because if you don't get through it and win and you don't get any run support, now you've got problems offensively and with your pitching. So what good does that do you? And like we said a couple of weeks ago, and maybe we were led to believe they were better than they really were, and maybe we caught teams at the right time. We knew that the Dodgers were a little bit – you go against the Dodgers without Mookie Betts, they're banged up. When you go against the Minnesota Twins without Buxton, they're banged up, okay?
Yeah.
And this is what happened, and you won some games on the road. It looked as though, man, this team's young, they're energetic, they're hungry, they're just dumb enough to think they're good enough to be there. Hey, maybe they're not, and maybe they are what you thought they were, a 500 or worse team. And offensively, I can't argue with it anymore.
No. Here, let me give you some reasons why, okay? I did these numbers. I was trying to find, like, I'm ripping on Luke Maley and the La Bastida, who got called up when he shouldn't have been called up, and who else? Austin Hedges.
Yeah.
La
Bastida, by the way, that's the one with the hamstring injury, by the way. He's
the one. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Hedges got the concussion.
Right.
La Bastida's got the hammy. And then they called up Leon Rose or who's a Sandy Leon or Leon? Leon Spinks, whoever. Somebody's
Sandy
catching
Leon.
With the name Leon. Well, whatever his name is, okay? You know what they should do? He looks like he's in better shape than most of those guys. Instead of being the first base coach, sign Sandy Alomar and let him catch this team.
Man.
He can't hit any worse than those bums that they got going up there right now. I digress. Anyways,
you know what, though? Hold on 1 second, because you're right on another line here, because I saw what you posted yesterday. Don't give you or Kenny Rota for this instance, because you posted this. Don't give me the excuse that they're good defensively, because guess what? If they handle the pitching staff better, how come we don't have a guy over 500?
Thank you. Right? Oh, we don't need them to hit for a high average because they do such a great job. Somebody texted me, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, and they said, we're 24th in throwing guys out on stolen bases.
Yeah, they get 24th. On. Wait a minute. How about you don't let the guy get on base and you don't have to throw him out?
Well, but hey, if you're supposed to be a great defensive catcher, you're supposed to gun guys down at like a 43% clip. 24th, allegedly. Okay, here's some numbers that I found, offensive numbers that are strictly Guardians related, okay? The Guardians have the third fewest home runs in all of Major League Baseball with a total of 54 home runs. And what is their record? 54 home runs in 71 games.
And yet, we refuse, Tito refuses, I don't care what inning it is, to bunt a guy over. The other night, the other day, I think it was yesterday's, was it the night before? The night before, when they lost 11-1, they had five leadoff singles and one leadoff walk. That's six base runners with no outs.
Right.
Not one time did they bunt the guy over to second.
Yeah, Tito, he doesn't like to do that. But when you only have 54 home runs in 71 games, the only teams that have less home runs than the Guardians, the Detroit Tigers and the Oakland Athletics. Wow. That's it. It gets worse. Let's see. They have the fourth fewest walks. Okay, if you don't hit home runs, you would think, hey, maybe got a good eye at the plate. You're going to get some free passes, get on base. Is that nope, fourth fewest walks in all of Major League Baseball. They are dead last in hardest hitting percentage, okay? Mm. And what I mean by that, squaring the ball up, ball in the barrel of the bat, okay. Right? 34% of the time is what they – that's dead last, meaning they don't barrel the ball up hardly
no
at all
outs.
Compared to the other
no
team.
Loud no loud outs.
No, nothing like that, right? How about this? When they do hit it, they have the fourth worst exit velocity at 87.6 miles per hour. These are stats that when I was growing up, nobody kept these stats. But, hey, analytics today, these stats mean something. So if they're charting them and they're putting them out there, we're going to read them to you. Fourth worst exit velocity at 87.6 miles per hour. Answer me this. We were doing the show, I don't know if it was early in the season or during that good road trip. Mm-hmm. Were they not one of the top four or five teams in batting average at one point overall?
Oh, absolutely. At the beginning of the season, maybe a month or so in. And you know, the other thing they were high on?
What?
Not striking out. But the last couple of days, man, you're seeing multiple strikeouts per game, 7, 8, 9 sometimes.
Well, the batting average now has gone from number one at that point, whenever that was, to 10th. They've dropped down to number 10 already in team batting average at 247, and they are tied there with two other teams at 247. So technically you could say they're 12th, a percentage point here or there. And Franmil Reyes, they brought him back off the DL from whatever was bothering, bruised ego, whatever it was, right? I broke it down. The Guardians with Franmil Reyes in the lineup are 18-23. The Guardians without Franmil Reyes in the lineup are 19-11.
I told you this yesterday, man. They play worse. They're moving guys around in the order, and what happens is you move a guy like Owen Miller, who was when he was batting cleanup, he was really good. Now all of a sudden you move him back to six or whatever, and he hits the ice. Maybe he was more comfortable at four. You know, the same thing could be said with your center fielder, you moved him to 9. He was your leadoff guy. And I want to ask you this question. You're talking about these catchers and how poor they are. Jeez. Offensively, right? Yeah. And what's the one thing we heard about Josh Naylor's brother, Bo? Great defensive catcher, right?
Yes.
They move him from AA to AAA last week. Call the kid up. How much worse can he be than Sonny Leon?
You know what it is. I'm telling you, it's that arbitration year where they want to keep that extra year so they don't have to pay them. And because at some point, JT, I don't know the intricacies of this, but they did it with Francisco Lindor. There's a certain date in the season where it doesn't affect you arbitration-wise when you call somebody up. Because Lindor's first year, when he finally got called up, they waited, and some date clicked in, and then they were able to call him up where it wouldn't affect them, as far as counting as a full year of service time or whatever it is. And so they've got to be doing the same thing with Bo Naylor. Now, what they'll tell you is, oh, we don't want to ruin the kid by rushing him to the big leagues, and he's only hitting 150. Well, the guys that are veterans that are up here are only hitting 150. What the hell's the difference?
Here's another thing. I give him a shot. What difference does it make? You gave Stephen Kwan a shot. You didn't send him back down, did you? Oscar Gonzalez was invited into camp. He makes the team. What if this kid comes up and he makes the team? He's got to be better, Kenny. Come on. 165, isn't that Hedges' batting average somewhere in that vicinity?
Yeah.
You tell me Bo Naylor can't hit 200?
Well, JT, if you only want him to hit 180, you're telling me he can't hit 180 because everybody else is hitting 180 or lower, right? I mean, how much worse can it be?
You can't
make
it up.
And if he's better defensively, that's an upgrade. That improves your team, wins against replacement, or that crazy stuff. I still don't understand what that is, but how about this? And I was going to save it for screenshots. I'll just give it to you now. Their war, the Guardians catcher's war, wins above replacement, right? They keep that stat. They are dead last, the catchers. out of all the catchers in Major League Baseball. Okay, there's a graph. Somebody sent it to me when I posted that on Facebook yesterday about the batting average of all the the catchers and whatnot. Look at my whatnot droppage there. Here it is. I'm looking at it right now. They are dead last with a wins above replacement less than three.
Bad.
Dead last, and as a group, they are batting 159 as a group. Four guys that have caught games for the Guardians this year include Hedges, Maley, Leon, and Labastida. They are a combined 35 for 220 for 159 batting average as a group of catchers. It's terrible. It's embarrassing. And I looked this, and yes, there aren't a lot of big, high productive catchers as far as high average or home run. But
there's nobody this low, though, either. You're a professional baseball player. You got to be able to hit 200. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Think about that. That's 50 points added to the – we just want them to hit 50 points higher at 200. They can't even hit 200.
Right.
And then they're not throwing guys out. As you said, the pitching staff.
Well, they're
right
not
now
handling the pitchers. You know, the pitchers right would be better because that was the argument. They handle our pitching staff well. That's why our pitching, our starting, we're going to hang our hat on starting pitching. Our starting
that's
pitching,
it.
They said at the beginning of the year, the team might not be great. Our starting right pitching is arguably the best in baseball. Really?
Well, and I.
Is Ernie Clement,
think of all the guys.
Is Ernie Clement in that number? Yeah. He pitched the other day.
Think of all the guys that they lost, right? And they were relying on these inexperienced, not a lot of innings, young guys, right? The take over for the Clevengers and for the Bieber for the Bowers and the Klubers. And Bieber's been the most consistent of the group. McKenzie, so-so, right? And he's never pitched more than 150 innings in the Plesac. Okay, up and down. He's got, good DNA bloodlines, but, hey, that doesn't get you out in the seventh or eighth inning, right? So, right now, here we go. You ready for this? I was looking this up. You mentioned the Yankees are coming to town after the Twinkies. Yankees right now, best pitching staff in Major League Baseball as a team. Their pitching staff has an earned run average of 294. Astros at 299. Dodgers at 299. Oh, and those are the teams. Minnesota, surprisingly, team ERA, 369. Guardians are 12th. So they're almost, halfway. 15 is halfway. 30 teams in Major League Baseball. Guardians team staff ERA at 3.87, which is 12th in Major League Baseball. And you say, bro, man, that's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad, but it was supposed to be the strength. You expected them to be in the top five, and they're not.
Sometimes the numbers lie. The numbers came early in the season, and we're not to the halfway mark yet. We're not at halfway yet. And the thing is this. You look at this starting rotation, you compare it to last year. You say, last year, we were only a few games under 500. Just imagine if our rotation would have remained healthy the entire season. But last year, at any given time, the entire rotation was down, and you could argue the guys that came up last year are pitching better than these guys healthy this year.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and here's the thing. Had they not gone 7-2 on the road trip, I don't think our hopes would have been as high. At least I bought into it. I bought into the hype. Hey,
like
they
it
took
look,
they took two out of three from the Dodgers. I'm buying into that. They got 11 at home. They're going to do well.
I still like it, and I'm still a fan, and I'm still rooting for them on a nightly basis. But the thing is, they don't start stringing some hits together. It's proving to me what you've said all along. They're a 500 team. I hope they can remain 500, because if they can, then they're much better than the bottom tier in their own division. And maybe you build on this in the offseason. Now we've got the minority owner. Let's see if the Dolans do like they said they would do, that if we can become competitive, then you can become good. But you've got to add some talent to this roster.
But you know, JT, over the last 7 years, we have the most wins in
but
the
they had
American
talent
League of any team.
What's different?
I'm just saying.
They had talent. Yeah. They had Frankie Lindor. They had Jose Ramirez, who's still here. You had talent. You had Carlos Santana. These guys are all gone now, except for Jose.
Yeah, he's the only one that remains out of. Think about that. Out of that group, he's the only one that remains. The shortstop is new. The second baseman is new. The first baseman is new. It's been a revolving door in the outfield. You know what? They're going to catch up to the Browns quarterbacks with the Guardians out there.
Oh, they already passed them. Nobody can know.
I mean,
Oscar Mercado was going to be the center fielder of the future. The only good thing right now on this team, and I think they're going to trade him after maybe the season, is Amed Rosario and Andres Jimenez. Jimenez looks like he could become the shortstop that you want to replace Frankie Lindor. He already hits better than him. That's fine. But you need more than that. You need a first baseman that can field, that can get a ball dug out of the dirt once in a while. I'm tired of these errors. You know, and unfortunately, sometimes, I guess rightfully so, if a ball goes into the dirt, a good major leaguer is going to dig it out, Kenny. That's what
you
they do.
You pick it out.
But the error goes to the shortstop, sometimes the second baseman. Unfairly so, but that's the way the game is played. I get that. But the problem is this. We don't have a good fielding first baseman as well as we didn't have good fielding outfielders. Now we finally have pretty decent outfielders, but I'm not sold on Oscar Gonzalez in right field. Are you?
No, I'm not. Absolutely not. And here's the thing. I wonder how many teams out there have as many players at various positions where those weren't their primary positions when they were drafted or signed,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many guys get moved? And I don't know. So I don't want to question the Indians and say they're the only team doing this. But, Jay, think about it, right? Owen Miller, he's a middle infielder. He's playing first base.
We platoon everywhere. We platooned left field for the entire season, Kenny.
Right. So that's my point. How about drafting a guy at a position and actually playing him at that position?
Ernie Clement played left, third, and pitched all in the same game, I think.
There you go, man. Yo, hey, give him a raise, right? Three different positions. Very versatile. He's amphibious. He can play multiple positions.
Amphibious.
All right, who's up there? G-Man
all
wants
right,
to talk
go.
To us. Let's see what the G-Man has for us on the Kenny and JT Show. What's up, G-Man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Got to be
you. Tell us.
Hey, I want to thank you guys because I got to go to the game. Compliments to WHBC yesterday, the first game. It was
nice.
Rain out from April.
Okay.
Okay. I started thinking USFL. I'm like, what game are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about the Guardians game.
Yeah. I
went awesome. To the okay.
I did go to the USFL game. That was
okay.
pretty cool.
Oh, good.
But, yeah, the reason I was calling, I got a little bit of beef, though.
What is it?
You was talking about those free balls and free runs that was dropped in. I was at the game yesterday, and that sky was so high and bright, there was like five or six balls that were dropped. Jose Ramirez dropped one. And then the gift run, what you called it, the gift run, that was dropped. And there was other runs. The sky was so high. Once that ball got hit above the stadium, it disappeared. And, you know, it was amazing that even any of those guys could make a catch.
Supposed to be big leaguers, aren't they?
Yeah, put your sunglasses on. Put the eye black underneath. Flip the shades down. Have them attached to your hat. If you know that's going to be the case, you see that sky the way it is, you got to take precautions for that and figure out what shades give you the best, sun blockage, sun glare blockage or whatnot.
I think all them guys had all that.
Did they? They still dropped it?
The sky was so bright, you know, even when balls was hit right at me, I would lose them if they got above the stadium.
Well, how come the Twins weren't losing them?
Oh, they lost a bunch of them. They lost at least two or three in the foul zone. That's
We're up against it. Thanks for the call. Here's the thing I will say, though. Okay, fair point. They maybe lost that one with Franmil Reyes. He gets a gift hit. That's fine. But what was he calling it? The high sky or whatever it is? The high sky did not walk the first two guys in the eighth inning. The high sky did not throw a wild pitch for the Minnesota Twins.
Game two, you lose 6-0, 13 hits to 5. Okay. Don't hit the ball into the high sky and it's too bright outside. Just get base hits then.
Well, hey, sometimes you just want them to make contact.
Yes.
You bitch and moan about striking out. You know, and then, hey, put the ball in play and hope that something can happen. Because that first game, they almost blew it in the top of the ninth with what? It was a strikeout pass ball. Guy got on first base. Then there was an error in that inning and they were able to still overcome that and steal a 3-2 win to end a five-game losing streak. But they come back in the nightcap and get shut out by the Twins 5-0 yesterday.
Yeah. Paul, stay on the line. We'll get to you after the break, but it's going to be a long one, so you might want to call us back. It's the Kenny and JT Show.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.